Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, Jesus cast a demon out of a man. The demon was making the man deaf and mute, and Jesus showed up and cast out the demon, and the man was changed. He could hear and speak. And another story comes to mind for today's text. There was once a wee little man named Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Man of small stature, also a man of wee little character. Tax collector, sinner. Being a tax collector is bad enough, but Zacchaeus is the only man in any Greek literature anywhere called the chief tax collector. So he was very rich. And he wasn't rich because Caesar paid him so much. It was because tax collectors took money that was owed Caesar and gave it to Caesar. And then they took more and gave it to themselves. And the Jews hated Zacchaeus for that. He was a traitor to his people and a thief as far as they were concerned. And they were right. And then he met Jesus. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, told Zacchaeus that salvation had visited that house. And Zacchaeus said he was going to give back what he had stolen fourfold. He was a changed man. And a good friend of Jesus' named Lazarus died. It's the brother of Mary and Martha. All of them are very sad, including Jesus. Jesus wept at the news. Lazarus is dead in the tomb for 4 days before Jesus got there. And Jesus called to him, "Lazarus, come out." The sheep heard the voice of his shepherd, and Lazarus came out, changed. He was dead, he's now alive. This morning we're continuing on in this survey of texts that have to do with the kingdom of God. Today's text is Matthew 11. Jesus is going to give two separate messages, two little sermons for two separate audiences. So the context is basically the same as what we've had several times over the last few weeks from Matthew and Luke, which is that the story starts with John the Baptist and then Jesus both proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom of God, which we're understanding is not necessarily only a place, but the active, dynamic rule and reign of God. And we see signs of its presence, but then we see other signs, odd signs, resistance to it, seeming failures, injustices, things that are wrong, that don't seem to fit under the reign of God. So here's one for today. Our reading begins now. "When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" So how does this make any sense? John the Baptist is in prison. This is the guy who baptized Jesus. This is the preacher who said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, "I baptize with water for repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, there's no fire. John's in prison. Why? Well, because he told the king that he shouldn't have stolen his brother's wife. John thought there was going to be unquenchable fire. All he does is tell the truth, and now he's in prison. So he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "What's going on? Where is the fire?" And Jesus answers with the first tiny sermon. It's intended for John. He says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So the sermon is mostly just a Bible passage. You heard it a few minutes ago. It's obviously coming from our Old Testament lesson. Jesus has Isaiah 35 in mind. Isaiah tells us a little before that when the day of the Lord comes, a righteous king will reign. The entire creation will be changed. The wilderness will be changed. The desert will blossom and rejoice, sing even. Waters will break forth. Burning sand will become a pool. But not only will the creation be changed, the people will be changed. The blind will see and the deaf will hear. The lame walk, the mute sing. There's going to be a holy highway there. A highway for those who, when they walk it, even the fools will no longer go astray. So in summary, you know, the results of sin will be reversed. Isaiah says this change in people and the creation will take place on the day of the Lord when the true King reigns in righteousness. And now Jesus preaches to John, those are the things that are happening. But then he adds this one line at the end that's not in Isaiah. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. So why would anybody be offended by Jesus? Well, that's not the right question. The sermon isn't for anyone and everyone. It's for John. The question is, why would John be offended by Jesus? Why does he need to hear that? Well, it's because this isn't the way that he seems to have thought that the kingdom was going to come. You know, or this isn't the type of kingdom that he thought was coming, or and at least it's not that yet. So Jesus chooses to quote some parts of what Isaiah says will happen, but not all of it. You know, where is the coming to save part? Where is the prophecy in chapter 61 about the captives being set free? I mean, that's part of the reign of God too, that John would have been particularly interested in, I would think. And Jesus is saying, yes, I am the one. There is no other. People are being changed. The results of sin are being reversed. This is the day, but there's still more to come. The day of vengeance hasn't quite arrived yet, but the blessed ones will not be ashamed of the type of Messiah, the type of king that I am. So that's the sermon to John, and then Jesus gives another one to the crowds. And we have the first part of it in front of us today. As they went away, they being John's disciples, as John's disciples went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. So John started preaching out in the wilderness, and after all the Old Testament passages about the reign of God beginning, doing something out in the wilderness, something big, seemingly big at least, starts to happen out in the wilderness, people take interest in it. So here's John, he's preaching and baptizing in the wilderness, and it drew a crowd. Jesus says to the crowd, well, why? Why did John draw a crowd? What did you think was going to happen? Why would it be surprising to you that John is in prison? What were you looking for? Someone weak enough to be swayed by the wind? I mean, yeah, John wouldn't be in prison if he was a reed shaken by the wind, but that's not what you were looking for. What was it? A king? You know, the kind in soft clothing, the regular kind of king like Herod, like the one you have right now? Yeah, that's true. John wouldn't be in prison if he was the kind in soft clothing like you have right now, but that's not what you were looking for. You know, John is in the king's house right now, but he's not on the throne in soft clothing. He's in the dungeon. Would it look right to you if John the Baptist, the guy who eats locusts and honey, is a wild man in the wilderness, wound up sitting on Herod's throne instead of Herod? Is that what you thought? I mean, you already have a king like that. So what? What are you looking for? A prophet? Did you go out into the wilderness to see a prophet? Yeah, you did. What happens to prophets? John is a prophet and more than a prophet. What does that mean? This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. It's a prophet, but this is also the prophesied prophet. Jesus quotes Malachi 3 verse 1 right here. Malachi says, Elijah will return to prepare the way for the Messiah. Jesus says, John is not just any prophet. He's the one of whom it was foretold that he would go before the Messiah and prepare the way. This is This is the prophet, the capstone of the prophets. Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So the prophesied prophet, the capstone of the old world, who was appointed by God himself to announce the arrival of the new, that's who John is. But that's not exactly the point. You said John's mission was to announce the presence of something greater. The kingdom of God is present now in a way that it has not been seen before. Everyone who lives under this reign is experiencing a type of greatness that is new. It doesn't mean John is not part of the church. He's not saved. That's not the question. It has nothing to do with that. It's that for those whom the kingdom is coming in this new way, those being brought under the current reign of God in Christ, being healed and forgiven and cleansed in this way, under the reign of God in Christ, are seeing God in the flesh. God has reigned before. God has done all kinds of things before. God has been present with his people before. God has healed his people. He has helped them. He's forgiven them. He's changed them all before. But still, this is new. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What does he mean by the days of John the Baptist? John the Baptist is still alive at this point. I mean, he was just out in the wilderness preaching just a little while ago, and Jesus is talking like he's somebody from ancient history, hundreds of years ago. Well, I mean, yes and no. In a sense, he is from ancient history. So by the days of John the Baptist, what Jesus means is the days of the law and the prophets, the days of the Old Testament way. Right? John is still alive, but he's part of an old era, same era as Moses and Aaron and Joshua and David and Samuel and Elijah. That's the era of John the Baptist. Now, in a temporal sense, the two overlap. John has kind of one foot in both realms as humans experience time. He's the end of a line, but he's also the forerunner of the new. And Jesus is still the prophet, prophet of prophets, but he's also the beginning of something else. The two reigns coexist in time for a time, but they are different. So this is what Paul means, if you caught that in our epistle lesson today, where he says, we're the people for whom the end of the ages has already come. So in those days, in John's days, the kingdom was under attack by violent forces. And Jesus says that's still the case even now today, even under this new reign. And that's then the second sermon, which is, you know, even though the new reign is here, it's not here in its fullest unhidden sense. And the old reign is not entirely gone yet either. So when Jesus cast out the demon that made that man mute, the man was changed. But what happened after? The world resisted. They accused Jesus of being in league with Satan. And if you remember Zacchaeus' story, when Zacchaeus repented, became a new man. But the world resisted, and they attacked again. They attacked Jesus for being the guest of a sinner, apparently not accepting Zacchaeus' repentance. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but it intensified the Pharisees' desire to see Jesus dead, sped up the plot. The most striking example of this to me is the story of the prodigal son. So the man has two sons. One of them asks for his inheritance early. He goes off, blows all of it with wild living. The other one stays home, works on the family farm. But then the prodigal comes home. He repents. The father rejoices, throws a great feast. He says, let us celebrate. My son was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and now he's found. My son has returned. He's a better and a changed man. But the other son refused to go to the feast because he didn't think the mercy of the father was fair. So he pouted, complained, instead of celebrating the change and return of his brother. Jesus' first sermon teaches us that when the kingdom of God is present, people are changed for the better. The results of sin are reversed. People become closer and closer to what they're supposed to be. And on the last day, this will be complete, permanent. Sick will be healed, dead will be raised, sinners will be forgiven and sanctified. In fact, all creation will be changed to what God intended it to be from the beginning. A new Eden emerges in the desert. But blessed is the one who's not offended by the way that this is coming about. And that's the second sermon. So now we see the kingdom in glimpses. Jesus says you have to have ears to hear. You have to have a heart that can believe that you're seeing it. You'll mistake it for something else if you don't, because it's here. But not completely, not without remainder. So the blind regained their sight when Jesus came, but not all of them. And the dead were raised when Jesus came, but only some, only for a little while. Sinners are completely forgiven, but not completely sanctified, not without resistance. Demons are cast out and bound, but the hordes are not destroyed. For us, the kingdom is now, and it's still to come. In Jesus, though, it's all now. Jesus is risen from the dead, never to die again. Jesus reigns on the throne of heaven, governing this world right now. Have the ears to hear it. Yeah, there is resistance. There is still sin and disease and persecution, injustice, war, turmoil, even between Christians, even between family members, Christian family members. The earth still convulses. The desert is still dry. The axe is still at the tree. And Jesus hasn't sent the fire. And life still ends in death. But not for him. And so, have the ears to hear. Ultimately, not for you either. You still sin. And in Jesus, there is forgiveness. And not only forgiveness, but change. And you get sick. In Christ, there's not only healing, but resurrection. There's eternity. When you try to live in the change made possible by Christ, the world and the devil will push back. They'll remind you that they're not gone. You're not resurrected yet. There's still a chance for us, but Christ has them on a leash. Your place in His kingdom is secure. So the presence of the kingdom isn't complete, and it's not unopposed. It's still to come, and yet it's still here. So blessed is the one who's not offended by it. Have the ears to hear it right now. You are the family of God, and in your baptism you've been brought under the reign of Jesus Christ, and He speaks to you. He sends His word to you. He nourishes you in His sacrament. And the fact that you're still alive right now means that He's keeping you alive right now for some reason. So have the ears to hear that the kingdom is present. It's here now. The kingdom is at hand. The Lord Jesus is reigning over your life. And He sends you a new day to live each day. Each new meal He sends you to eat, and each new neighbor He's sending you to serve. Each new challenge He gives you a chance to pray through it, face it as His child, not on your own. So rejoice. Rejoice. The kingdom is here today. Give thanks that in the kingdom of Christ there is change, and there is still more to come. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.